Okay, so if you please turn to the first day sheet in the white prayer book. So we'll chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times, the four immeasurables in English, and then right below that in Tibetan, one time. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Te ata om mune mune maha munaye soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentientam chedevatam de please turn the page to the first pink sheet. At the bottom, you see two mantras. So we'll say Chen Red 6 mantra 8 times, and then chant Green Tara's mantra 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om tare tu tare tu re soha. 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 Om tare tu tare tu re soha.
It's on. Oh, sorry. Not on. It doesn't push hard enough. It doesn't went all the way. It's yeah. I didn't push hard enough. It's on the mute. And that's good. So then it's need to mute. How many of you like to hear another explanation about money mantra? Yeah. Okay. So then first let me probably do that explain. I will repeat last Sunday. So this mantra, the mantra is so easy to learn. You know, it's so easy to learn. Om Manipe Mehu. So almost every single Tibetan people inside or outside Tibet knows this mantra, even the children. So, you know, here in America that so much things going on, generally speaking, but then particularly in your own life, you know, there's so much things happening. There's so many activities. Because generally compared to the life in Nepal or India, life here is much more easier. Much more easier, you know, like... So because of that, you have, you know, so many, I say, beautiful park to go visit, you know. There are so many things to do that, you know, you do here. There are good things, you know, so that... So I think this practice is very relevant, you know, having little time, you know, this is easy to say, you know, this is the called mantra of compassion, or Manipura mantra of compassion. So when I read the benefit of, you know, reciting this mantra in the text, it's like hard to get your head around. Yeah, it's kind of like wow, this is not like, I didn't realize there's not that much benefit that I create when I say this mantra. Then of course, you know, the motivations, you know, if you have, you know, altruistic motivations, you know, so that, you know, even makes much more powerful, you know, saying this mantra. Then I think it's, you know, good to learn, you know, all the meanings. So in Tibet, you know, lay community, that's the main practice, what they do, you know, what they know is, they only know this Om Mani Padme Mantra. They don't know what is Four Noble Truths. They don't know Eightfold Noble Path. They don't know much about Buddha Dharma. But they do know Om Mani Padme Hum. And they have, you know, they put their heart into this mantra. And they say this mantra all the time. All the time they say these mantras. You know, and, you know, so it's easy to say, you know, there's a lot of benefit. So I thought, you know, it's good, you know, maybe I should explain that. And also, this will help you to probably increase your compassion, okay? So the power. Now, when they created the mantra, they put so much energy into each syllables. They put so much energy. So if you recite that, you know, somehow it will benefit our heart, our mind. And it also help us to develop compassion, to help us to become more compassionate human beings. So that's what we need. We need more compassionate human beings. So we don't need more Buddhists. We don't need more Christian. We don't need more Muslim. What we need is more. We need more compassionate human beings that we need. So that is good for the world, no doubt. No question. So, so this will help. This will help, you know. So now, if you ask me how, oh, Gila said this will help, how? So now we need to understand there are three objects, you know. As I mentioned last Wednesday night class, some of them are very obvious objects, you know, such like this. You don't need any reason to prove, you know. When you turn this clockwise, it will turn. You don't need much reason why it's turned clockwise. because you turn clockwise. No, that's called obvious object. You don't need reason. Then there's another called Tuangunjur, means obvious object. You don't need to prove, So then is there another object called hidden phenomena, such as, impermanent or emptiness, selflessness, all of that, that's called hidden object, even though it's like something that can be understand, but you are not going to be understood like this, just looking at them, it needs some reason, so... Say, for example, if somebody is wandering in the late evening, in front of the oceans, if somebody is wandering, if that one person is seeing the stream that's coming out of the oceans, then that very person is wondering, oh, maybe there's smoke. Obviously, there's no smoke in the oceans. So then that. Second person says, there's no smoke because there's no fire. So that's called syllogism. So that's how you prove, there's no, if there's smoke, there has to be fire. Then he's sitting here looking at the mountains, wondering whether there's fire or not. If somebody comes, okay, there's fire because there's smoke. So then you understand, you will find the fire following the smoke. Well, that's called, syllogism. Syllogism? What is it called? It's like... anyway, so... Tinsics, I'm not sure how to translate in English. So, syllogism is probably the best. Syllogism? Yeah. This word is also fancy for me. I don't know what it means. I just guess. That's what it means. I just guess that's what the... Tinsic means, that's how they translate it. So I just guess, I have no clue. I have no clue about that word. Then, maybe wondering, okay, where, on the top of the mountain, where there's water or not, if there's water, you can't see. There's obviously the water on the mountains, the distant mountain. Water on the distant mountain. Water on the distant mountain is, for you, generally speaking, the water is, obvious object, but for you in that this circumstance, for you that's kind of hidden object. So now how you know whether there's water or not, or the second person comes, oh, there's water because there's number of geese flying around on that mountain all the time. So more like that's true, but that's one way you can find the water there. That's called syllogism, okay? There's hidden phenomena. Tuangunjur, kokjur. So kokjur means hidden phenomena. So you have to rely on some kind of reasons. There's no way you can understand that object not relying on certain reasons. So that's called the hidden object. So now there's extreme hidden object. Or being generous, will generate more wealth. Practicing ethics, morality will, produce higher rebirth. Practicing patience, the result will be very, beautiful physical appearances. Joyful effort doing whatever you're doing. Not the negative things, positive things, all the good things. If you are doing it with joyful heart, so then the result will be like calm mind. Will enjoy calm mind. Someday, the result of concentrations. Then the result will be like peaceful mind. Then the result of practicing the wisdom is like the result of liberations. How you know? These are called extremely hidden phenomena. What do? You rely on the scriptures. So may not work very well with the scientific minded people, But, you know, there are certain things, the Lungla Tenpon, there's no, yeah, you heavily rely on the scriptures, you know. So now the question is, who taught the scriptures? So then that you talk about, you know, valid person, valid speech, valid mind, basically developing the trust to this person. How you like, you have to understand the person. You have, in order to have trust, you have to understand the person's, what they say, what they do, how they think. So then, valid means, you know, having this, you know, trust. So then, in this case, you know, so you trust, you know, person who said, reciting many mantras, that much benefit taught by, you know, Chandrasik himself. So that's all, you know, praying for someone else, how it works, that's probably extremely hidden phenomena. You rely on the scriptures. So just want to say that because, you know, before you ask me questions, how that benefit, how saying money mantra benefit, now you have to, you don't have to, but answer is rely on the scriptures. That's all I can say. So then, of course, you know, if you are doing it, then, you know, you experience certain, you know, like, not just understanding, you will gain like experiential understanding of saying many mantras. It's not just understanding, it's like, how they, in Yuwa means experiential understanding. It's not just understanding, you know, it's like deep, it's like experiential understanding. Understanding with some experience, you know, some experience, okay? So, today there's not much time. So last Sunday, the first one, just repeat that one. Then I'll do Om Janarashtri. That's Janarashtri. That's the one way to explain Om Janarashtri Jimbache Chitima Ethic. Or Jimbache Shava Ni Patient. That's three syllable. One Pe. Four syllable, Jimbasun Silva, joyful effort, not just effort, joyful effort. Huh? When you wake up in the morning, say, oh, I have to do water bowl, I have to set up my altar, no. It's not like that. Oh, I'm happy to do my nose. Nobody says you have to set up altar. Who said you have to set up altar? So I never check on people whether they're setting up altar or not. My teacher never check on me whether I'm setting up altar or not. They say it's a nice thing to do. Not just seven water bowls, that's like 100 water bowls. It's not like that. Happy to do it. That also counts the doing cleaning at home with heavy mind. So that needs to conjoin with some kind of mental exercise. Oh, not just cleaning, it's cleaning my anger, it's cleaning my attachment, cleaning my jealousy. You know, it's not just dirt, it's like this is like dirt of anger, you know, it's cleaning. So, so by the way, every practice in Buddhism begins with the cleaning environment. So, okay, joyful effort, concentration, wisdom. So now, when you say you have something to think about, you know, wisdom, okay. So then another one. So now, another this one, you could say ignorance. Ignorance. According to Buddhism, that's the root of the samsara. There's so much suffering caused by not knowing. In Buddhism, not knowing refers to, it's not just not knowing how to use computer, desk. That's not the root of the samsara. You can be free from samsara, not know how to use computers. So we don't need to worry about, you know, in order to, how you say, liberate oneself from samsara, that you don't need to know computer. It's not like not knowing, that kind of not knowing. So this is like not knowing the true nature of mind. You know, oh yeah. Dimoche. Then ma anger. The worst emotional, negative emotional anger. Om ma anger. Stinginess, sena. Your money, pe, now here, pe, is attachment. Me, jealousy. Tabasi. Who? Pride. Arrogant or pride. Narjigi, kumbula, yundingi, chumija. Pride is like ball. Even the drop of water won't stay on the ball. That means, like pride is like that ball, you know. You will not learn anything at all. Even you will not learn like a drop of water like that size, you will learn it, because no matter what you put, you won't stay there. It will just fall down because there's pride. Even though somebody else knows more than you, but you don't want to take any advice. No, it's a pride. Ignorance, let's repeat one more time. Ignorance, anger, stinginess, attachment. It's like drop of oil. When the drop of oil gets on the paper, in the beginning it's very small, slowly can expand. It's like that. Another example they use, like, as some kind of cloth that made out of wet leather. In the beginning, you can feel comfortable. When it gets dry, it's kind of like tightened up. It's like attachment, like, it's not right away, slowly, it just squeeze you, yeah. Not right away, slowly. In the beginning, you feel kind of comfortable, it's kind of stretch. When it slows it, when it dry, then it's kind of, you know, squeeze you, yeah. Then the attachment, then the jealousy, then there's like pride. So now then the rest of the explanation is a little bit complicated. So these are, you know, good that you can use, you know, it's not that difficult to understand. You can use that for your meditation. So you can just say Om, then sit there, then think about, you know, generosity, or think about, you know, like not knowing, you know, the true nature of the mind. Or then if you want to know a little more, then I'm more than happy to help. So to explain, you know, other explanation, okay? So now I hope that you will share, you know, if somebody asks you, so then please share that with other people. So now 25 minutes left, so... So now every other Sunday we will talk about meditation. Not every Sunday, every other Sunday. Not every Sunday because somebody ears already get burned. So this book is taught in 8th century by Indian master Kaushalyadeva. So widely practiced in Tibet, you know. In monastery, the monks, they memorize. They can say this old book by heart. So not I'm one of them, so I'm kind of lazy monks. So monks do memorize this, you know. So this is, you know, a wonderful book. So now here, in the 8th century, what Chandideva said, you know, about meditations. So every other week, so today's the one, the time that we talk about meditation, then not next Sunday, then Sunday after that. Okay? Lava Suma, Dabai, Rabdur Dinde, Simtisung. Simtisung, Masuna, Lava Suma, Numais. What he said, Lava means, you know, you could translate that in, like, in Buddhism, Lava means, you know, practice. Now that refers to three training, the training of morality, training of concentration, training of wisdoms, called three practice. That's called Lava. So there's a particular way to, you know, think about Lava. So generally, Lava means commitment. Commitment. So that includes the New Year resolutions, commitment. Lava suwa devani rabdu dinde simtsu. If someone out there have desire to practice or to keep commitment, if someone out there have desire to keep commitment, whatever that commitment is, what Chandideva said, what those person needs to do, those person needs to put all their effort to protect their mind. Rabdu dinde simtsu means, you know, so need to learn how to protect their mind, or guard their mind. Same thing, Masima, if you don't guard your mind, it's impossible you can keep your commitment. It's impossible. So that's what's lacking. Same mind, Langbo is like elephant. So here, you know, probably in America, there's elephant in the room, not all the time. According to Buddhism, there's elephant in the room all the time. Because the mind is elephant. Just, you know, you can destroy your mind. You can destroy your stuff, but you can destroy your mind. In America, you don't say, like, yeah, there's elephant in the room. So, so that elephant and this elephant, probably there's two different types of elephant, I think. Simji Langbo, you know, like Simji Langbo Yentang means just knowing, not paying attention to your mind, just letting it just be wild, you know, just go Simji Langbo Yentang, you don't pay attention. So, Name never chapatas. Langshe Matu Nyomba Yidinatin Nimishis. So, that, you know, if you don't pay attention, if you don't guard your mind, means you don't pay attention, you just let your mind do whatever the mind wants to do. Yeah, so that mind probably wants to do so many things that's not good. No, so if you just let it go, so that then that your mind is the one, if that's called lower rebirth, if that's lower rebirth, the mind is the one that throws you there. It's not someone else. Even like say the crazy elephant. Crazy elephant can probably, you know, could kill you, but, you know, can throw you in lower river. Even the crazy elephant, it's a very wild, you know, very wild elephant. So they can cause the harm that your untamed mind can cause. Not untamed mind, your mind can cause. The damage that caused by your own mind, some of them cannot caused by wild elephant, crazy elephant. So there's, you know, that means really need to pay attention to your mind. So now how? You know, how? The question is how. So that all makes sense now. Because same thing longbo you change lo la yamba tawe na me jin neba cheba da thama de lanje ma to nyamba de jide de na lo cha wo cha Yes, it makes sense, you know, when you see some matter, say you are your own enemy. So that it now slowly when you relate those statements to this statement, it makes sense. You know, you are your own, like as a protector, you are your own enemy. Then it immediately makes sense. You are responsible for your next moment of happiness, and you are responsible for next moment of your suffering. Then it makes sense. You know, all the statement, even though it's taught by a different master, when you put it together, this makes sense. It's like come down to one point, same point. So now, kunne tembe thakpa is temba. So mindfulness is like rope here. Kunne tembe thakpa is tembe thakpa. So there's mindfulness is like rope. Simji langbo tamtana, simji langbo. If you can bind, if you can tie that elephant, which is called the mind, that's called an elephant. If you can tie that elephant, kunne tembe thakpa is simji langbo tamtana. If you can tie that elephant. Now, temba, like the mindfulness or me being aware of what you say, what you do, what you think. That means mindfulness of, you know, mindfulness of three draws. First draw the speech, the second draw the physical actions, the third draw the mind. If you be mindful about those three draws. If you can tie that elephant, you'll be free from all the fears. I don't think Shantideva lies, no. Shantideva doesn't make any money from this book, even though this is a wonderful book. This book has no copyright. Anybody can print. No, Shantideva doesn't make any money. Has no interest in worldly possession at all. Jigba thamje major thing. It sounds wonderful, you know. Jigba, fear. Jigba means fear. Thamje means all. Me means will be. As a name means none. None or no fear. So jigba thamje major thing. Gewa thamje lazim. Jigba thamje major thing. Gewa thamje lazim. So Jeva Thamje Ladu means all the virtuous things will come to you very easily. Ta Tang, Singye, Langje, Ches, Ta, Tiger, Singye, Lion, Langje, Elephant, Che, Bear?
Yes, bears.
So in Tibet, I'm not sure what kind of animals there's. Sometimes it sounds like bear, but sometimes like where they explain, I only heard from people, you know, called Temo. The way they explain, they say, when that animal chase you, you should not run towards hill, for that animal seems like have a lot of hair. So you should run on the downhill, because that animal cannot chase you, because the animal keep doing, you know, keep like, for hair falling down, they keep, you know, cannot see. That means that so much time has been spent like that, that you can run. So called Temo. So I'm not sure. There's some people, then when you really ask them questions, then eventually they say, I heard. You know, so as far as it seems like they saw one. So then when you really ask, then you say, oh, I heard. Same, I heard, I never saw one. Anyway, there are some people, the way they translate in English, the dictionary is called brown bear. Brown bear. So now brown bear doesn't have long hair. So you have here in America. You know? So anyway, so maybe there's another animals. There could be mystical animals. Huh? Really? So when my father was, he was when he was 16, so he told me that he saw, not really saw, he saw the footprint of, we call in our hometown, we call wild man. We don't call Yeti, but we call wild man. So then my youngest brother, my family, not now, owns yaks, the Tibetan heavy, the yak, yak. So we own 100 of them. So, that you have to live on the mountain. You can't just live in one space. You have to move based on where the grass is. So moving every year, move at least 2 times, summertime, wintertime. Summertime, then you are on the below ground. The wintertime, you need to go up. So the yaks, so they is not like cows, so they really go on. So he told me that he saw big footprint. So, how to say, anyway, so that part is, people still believe there's something out there. Anyway, it's called Te, Ta means, tiger, singi, lion, langchi, the elephant, Te means, there's whatever it is. It's a bear or whatever. Dul, snake, the duck hunter, all that, fear for animals. Sinji nyave sumatans, So what Chandra was saying, all of them, the things that we are most afraid of, afraid to encounter with them, these are all mainly due to our mind. Sinji if you can tame your mind, so that's the equivalent of taming all of them. So that means this is just an example of different types of fear. So I think you don't have this kind of fear here. You don't have elephant, first of all. You don't have elephant, even though you say there's an elephant in the room, there's no elephant in America. I don't think there's elephant in America. So the first year when I came, when people from Santa, when they took me to wood, I thought it was thick wood. I asked them, do you have elephant? They are kind of laughing. So there's no elephant. So you don't need to worry about that. You don't have tiger in the wild. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have lion. And you don't have temo, So you don't have that. So anyway, so now this is meditation. Now this is meditation that what you're trying to, when you meditate, what are you trying to do? You're trying to tie that elephant with the rope-like mindfulness. You tie the elephant, or being watching your own breath in and out. There's one type of mindfulness. So if you can tie your mind with that. So there's a, it's called gom. In Tibetan, it's called gom. Meditation is called gom. So here I'm not sure what's the definition of meditation. What's the definition of meditation? Do you mind to share? What is the definition of meditation? Do you mind to share? Yeah. Want to say something? Like to hear? No pressure. No pressure.
To become familiar with?
Yeah.
With something.
Yeah, that's exactly. So that's how you understand meditation?
That's because you said. that's what you taught me. But if I thought about meditation before, I would just think about making your mind peaceful.
Huh?
Making your mind peaceful.
Oh. Oh, that's good. So that's like before what I repeat. What I said is like, I usually, whatever I said here, I just repeat what has been said. So that's good. So before you thought it's like making your mind peaceful, that's the definition of meditation. Oh, very good. So then did you ever thought about how to make?
I thought about it, but I really didn't. I knew you could sit there and think good things and maybe make your mind peaceful. But then after coming here, you give us the method to help do that.
So anyway, that's very good. The gom, you know, gom is like the word, the meditation Tibet is a gom. So now, you know, it's very, very important. All my friends here, you know, you sacrifice your time. You could easily sleep on your bed very peacefully. That could be very wonderful meditations. But you choose to come here, maybe hoping to hear something new. So meditation in Tibet is called gom. As she said, you know, it's like making familiar with something. There's different ways you can make yourself familiar with something, or reviewing something, or analyzing something, or maybe really concentrating on something. You know, so I say, we think about flower, but you know, I never learned how to concentrate on flower. You could concentrate on flower. Easy as that. You could use flower as your object. You can concentrate, you know. So that's according to this ancient text, that's the only way you can make your mind peaceful is you concentrate. No more, no less. That's all the reason why you concentrate. So what happened? So now another important thing is we need to understand like the purpose of meditations. Gomtob, or maybe you could say power of meditations. Gomtob. Nyumong chua. Nyumong means afflicting mind. The minute it arrives, it makes you unhappy, unwell. That's called afflicting mind. Gomtob, gom, meditation, top, power. Nyumong, afflicting mind. Chua means less. Less. That's the purpose. You could say purpose or maybe power of meditations. So we need to keep that in our mind whenever we meditate. So now when you concentrate, automatically, afflicted mind will get weak. When you concentrate, something positive. So that's very important. That's the purpose of meditation or power of meditations. So now there's a couple of different ways, as I mentioned. You could review something. Say, if you memorize all of that, so I'm not asking you to memorize, please don't misunderstand. If you memorize a certain paragraph from there, when you think about, you are not just sitting there, you are thinking something, you know. You are not thinking negative things, you know, you are thinking something positive. So it takes, you know, you go, you know, can you imagine if you memorize this? Can you imagine how long it takes to go through all these books? But they will easily take a couple of hours. Your mind is occupied by 2 hours. There will be you are doing some productive meditation. You're going through that, you know. That's called review meditation. So then analytical meditations, then concentration meditations you can do. So now walking meditation, breathing meditation, this is all up, you know, trying to learn how to be mindful. Be mindful. That's called rope. You need the rope. Without the rope, don't try to catch elephant. You are not going to catch elephant. You have to have rope. You can't say, I'm tough. I don't need rope. Good luck. You can't catch. You have to have rope. So there's mindfulness. No. So if you are mindful, you maybe there's possibility you could, first place, you could catch that elephant. In order to tie the elephant fast, you have to catch. No. If you catch, you have nothing to try, you lose the elephant, you know. Because this elephant is powerful. It's not like mice. It doesn't call mice, it call elephant. It's not like mice. If it's mice, you can just grab like this elephant. So now, with that, you know, statement, in the 8th century, that's what Shantideva said. That's how we should meditate, you know. In order to do productive meditation, we should have, you know, mindfulness like rope. So then the job is to catch the elephant and not just catch and tie. So that's why you concentrate, okay? So why you concentrate? To experience peaceful mind. Someday, jishi. Concentration makes your mind peaceful, calm mind, or calm or peaceful. So, so now then probably you may think, okay, oh, it all sounds good, but it's, yeah, meditation is not, you know, we should not think, oh, meditation is going to be like eating cheesecake. It's not going to be like eating cheesecake, you know. It requires some effort, you know. So even though somebody says, oh, don't need any effort, that's not true. It's not true. It's making easier than it was. No, it's not true. You may enjoy hearing them, but it's not true. No, so effort. No, and this needs effort. Because Komnalawa majumide ka majumite. So then, somewhere in these books, Shantideva said, Komnalawa majumite. So, Komnalawa majumite. So, when you try to make familiar with something, you know, means when you try to learn something, if it's like some, like, how you say, object, some kind of object that can be learned, you will learn. It's only a matter of time, you will learn. means anything, it becomes easier when you learn. You know, in the beginning, it's, you know, it's not that easy. In the beginning, everything is not easy. There's nothing easy. You know, you learn even just, you know, making a banana bread. Eating banana bread is much easier than making banana bread. Mm-hmm. But that requires some effort. You have to learn, you know. Or maybe you make one, doesn't turn out exactly according to the cookbook, but, you know, second time, better. Then, you know, some people, they make very good banana bread. It doesn't happen like the first time, no. It's experience. So that's what Shantideva means. There's nothing that can become easier if you're trying to learn. Similarly, if you learn how to tolerate small difficulties, then you will learn to tolerate bigger difficulties, you know. It's become easier. So that's what Shantideva said, just the statement. So now, I'll stop here. So there's something. Yeah. That's all. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Kesala. We wanted to take just a few minutes this morning to thank a very special group of people here at Kadampa Center. And these are the members of our Financial Development Committee who personally have taken on responsibility for raising the funds that keeps the center open, pays for the presence of our teachers, our visiting teachers, and ensures that we can complete our spiritual program for the year. They've just completed a very successful annual appeal, and this past year they've also done the tremendous amount of work of moving us from a model of one-time gifts to a monthly sustainer program that really helps those of us in the administration side and on the board of directors plan for how the events at the center over the year. So we want to say thank you very much to all these people. If you worked with the Financial Development Committee in any way, could you please just stand up? Okay. I think most of them will be at the second session. There are quite a few people involved, but it's appropriate that Donna Cease and Sandy Carlson are standing up because, along with Susan Potter, they're really the backbone of the Financial Development Committee. You've all seen Susan up here, I think, giving her very articulate explanations of why we need money and where it goes. And Sandy's always the cheerleader. She brings enormous enthusiasm and to whatever she's working on. And then Donna's the one who's a little bit more behind the scenes, but she's the glue that held the whole thing together, got the mailings done, got the database set up. So if you two could just come up and Geshe-la, I'll give you a kata, a little gift. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Madam Benjamin. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, behalf of all the people here, so I'd like to thank both of you from the bottom of my heart. So then whatever we do here is we do for all of you. So as I mentioned before many times, what I said is very true. Some of you probably may think, oh, this is no center, this is Geshe-la's center. It's not my center. You know, I only teach here. Everything else is taken care of by the board. I'm not involved at all. I have no clue how the fund has been raised, and I'm aware, you know, how much money in the center, where the bank account, I have no idea. So I like that way. So I want to be like that, you know, as long as I'm here. So I don't want to involve. So, but, you know, at the same time, I'm aware, you know, so there's so much, so many of you put so much into, you know, center. So I really appreciate it. You know, so because of you, now we have this nice building, like many, many classes been, like, happening here because of you. So, and, you know, all the stupas, you know, everything, you know, so that, you know, we are not trying to raise fund here, then trying to do something somewhere in Nepal or India that you may never see them, you know. It's not like that. Everything we are doing here is for you. So then, the same time, I want to also, you know, express my appreciation towards all of you. That's your center. That's our center. You know, it's no center. It's not, I don't own the center, you know. Center owns people who come here. So because I want, this is very important to you to know that you are central. So you can, you know, if you are having difficulties, you know, if you want to have altar at your house, then there are some difficulties, you know, you don't have to have altar. If you have beautiful altar, you can volunteer here. You can come here, you know, you set up altar here. So a lot of people will see them, some will get benefit. You know, it's your center. So I want you to really feel that in your heart. It's your center, you know, it's not my center. I'm here to teach and you're here, you know, to whatever you contribute, you know, is like helping many people, you know, so I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. So with that, so the probably will end the session. Yeah.
So if you turn to the first...
Let's go, 1 second. So I'll say a couple of mantras, you know. I always do this, you know, so last couple of Sundays I kind of forgot. So some of the mantra is to help for your health, you know? And some of the mantra that, you know, prevent from the lower rebirth, some of the mantra that prevent from untimely death. You know? A long time ago, somebody asking me, you know, what advice I can give them in order to prevent their kid to having suicidal thoughts. That's, you know, it's heartbreaking. There's really nothing I can do. So then I learned those couple of mantras, you know. So having a faith in those mantras, people who hear those mantras is supposed to prevent from untimely death. That, you know, includes suicidal thought, then, you know, accident on the road. So there's risk. So, and with, you know, my faith into those mantras, then I say them for you, for your well-being. So, okay, it takes only 2 minutes, you know. So Some of the Chenede
Turn to the first pink sheet in the white prayer book, and we'll read the dedication verses. And by the way, today Geshe was quoting from Shantideva's book. It's, I think it was chapter 5, Guarding Alertness, stanzas 1 through 4, in case you have a copy. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso. Please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies a path that unifies emptiness and compassion. To the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who masters his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bear of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.